The 11th chapter of Hilchos Zechiyah Umatana, the laws of acquiring an object from an ownerless state and giving a gift. We are continuing now the laws of a Shchiv Mera, who is a person who is bedridden and on the verge of death, and the special laws regulating his gifts. This chapter contains 24 halachas and deals with a case when this Shchiv Mera has, for whatever of the variety of cases which will be presented, not made a clear statement of intent as to the division of his property. As we've discussed in previous chapters, there is a major difference between the gift which is given by a Shchiv Mera and that is given by a healthy person. When a healthy person gives a gift, it does not become an irreversible gift until an act of kinyan, an act of acquisition, has been done. However, in the gift of a Shchiv Mera, the mere statement that he is giving something is sufficient to accomplish this transfer of land or property. However, sometimes an occasion might occur that the Shchiv Mera has not clearly said who he wants the gift to be given to. And this is the beginning of this chapter, cases of this sort. Perek Achad Asun, chapter 11, Halacha Aleph. This deals with the question of when one says children, my children, bonai, does he mean male children or also female children? And also, does he mean only plural, as it would seem to be implied, or does he mean singular? The Shchiv Mera says, these possessions go to bonai. Bonai could either mean my sons or my children. What does he mean over here? Ein habonus peklolum. Over here, the daughters are not included. When he says bonai, he is referring to his male children rather than his daughters. We learned previously in Perek Vav, Halacha Yudalet, that in the regular case of a gift, a statement like this, which would be made by a healthy person, comes to include his daughters as well as his sons. The Shchiv Mera is an exception to this rule, but normally bonim, bonai, means both sons and daughters. Over here, it means only sons, as the reason is given that since he is right before the time of his death, he does not want to uproot or overturn that form of inheritance which has been dictated by the Torah. And since normally only the sons inherit, he, at the time of death, would be more likely to want to intend to conform to the Torah's standard. Let's say, Hoyuloi ben echad upas. He didn't have a large number of children. He had one son and one daughter. Oy ben uben aben. He has a son and a grandson. In these cases, afal pi shehu omar lebonai, shehu lashon rabim, even though he said to my children, in plural tense, ein nesnin elo libnei, we give only to his son. And why is that? Shaben or echad nikra bonim. It could be that one child is also called bonim in plural tense. As in the Chumash and Bamidbar, perechavav, pasuk ches, bonai, or bnei, is used to refer to one child. So therefore we see that so too over here, he possibly had in mind one child and referring only to his son. Halacha base. Shchiv Mera sha'amar nachasai letuvia. A Shchiv Mera says that my belongings should go to Tuvia, a person's name. Bomeis, and then he dies. Now we don't know exactly which Tuvia he meant. Ubo echad sheshmei Tuvia. Along comes a person whose name is Tuvia. Va'amar aniu. And he says, I am the one that was meant. I was the one he intended to give the gift to. Meitlam, he is allowed to take them. Since he is the one that came, we assume he is the one that meant. However, vim huchzak shmei Rav Tuvia, if he is normally called Rav Tuvia, that he is a Rav who gives halachic decisions, and this is what he is normally called, einad meitlam, he is not allowed to take them. Because since he was referred to as Tuvia instead of Rav Tuvia, if it was meant for him, they would have said, give these to Rav Tuvia. So he said Tuvia, he must have meant someone else. However, vim haye shchiv mera gazbei, if the Shchiv Mera was on very familiar terms with him, and he would call him even by his first name, Neitlam, then he is allowed to take them. And as the Magid Mishnah points out, that even if he calls him in public Rav Tuvia, but in private he calls him Tuvia, this is enough to be called Gasbei, and if he says, give these to Tuvia, he means this person. Halacha Gimel. Let's say two people claim that they are the intended recipients of these gifts. And each one of them has the name Tuvia and is known by this name Tuvia. The question is, which one did he intend over here? So then we look and see what are the qualities they have that we can use as a determining factor. Im hoya echon mehem talmid chacham kaidim. If one of the two is a Torah scholar, then the Torah scholar comes first. That we assume that we know the person's name is Tuvia, that probably a person wants to do the great mitzvah of helping out a Torah scholar. However, ein bahem talmid chacham. Let's say there is no talmid chacham, no Torah scholar among them. Vahoya echon mehem shachin akarov. One of the two was a neighbor of the deceased or a relative of the deceased. Who kaidem? Then he comes first, the relative or the neighbor. Let's say, hoya echad shachen ve'echad karev. One was a neighbor and one was a relative. Then the law is shachen kaidem. Then the neighbor comes first. As it says in the book of Proverbs, better is a close neighbor than a distant brother. However, again, as the Shach points out in Shulchan Aruch, this is only the law if the relative is not a close enough relative that he would legally inherit part of the estate. Because if he was, then he is undoubtedly the Tuvia which is being meant here. Let's say Shneim Krevim, or Shneim Shchenim, or Shneim Talmid Chachamim. Let's say both of them are relatives, both neighbors, or both Torah scholars. What will we use to determine? Yasu Hadayonin Kamei Sheyiru Lahem. The judges are allowed to do whatever seems best in their eyes. Kol misha daitam neta, shalzeh omar neistin lay. Whoever that their mind leans towards the fact that he was intended, they give to him. V'keinim hayarabim, and so too if there are many. The judges determine themselves who it is more likely that he intended to give this to, and whoever they determine receives the gift. Up till now, we have discussed what do we do to determine which individual the Shechiv Mera meant. Let's say he means more than one person. How do we determine how the percentage is broken up? Halacha Dalet. Shechiv Mera Sha'amar. Shechiv Mera says, Nachasai Laplaini Uplaini Uplaini. My belongings should be given to this person, second person, and a third person. Naming three people. In such a case, Cholkim B'Shova Afilo Heimeya. They divide equally among them, even if they are 100. Should they be 100, they should divide up in 100 separate portions. Halacha hey, Amar nachase laplaini ulavonai. If he says that my belongings should go to such and such a person and to my children, in such a case, chelkin, we also split it. We split it evenly, but not now between every one of the children individually counting as one. But plaini neitel mechatza v'chol bon of mechatza. The individual who has been singled out gets half, and all of the other children get the other half. If it was split evenly among the individuals, the one who was mentioned explicitly would of course get much less than half. It was split evenly with the sons. But since he has been mentioned explicitly, he gets half. Umaisa ba'echad sha'amar le'ishtei, and it once happened that a man said to his wife, Nachasai lich ulevenayich, that my belongings should be given to you and to your children. V'amru chachamim, and our sages said, Titul hi mechatza v'chol abani mechatza. Let her take half, and all of the other children will take another half. And since she was the one that was singled out in this case, she gets half, and all the children split the rest. Halachavav, amar l'plaini u'plaini u'livnei plaini. Let's say he said, give the gift to such and such a person number one, such a person number two, and to the children of person number three. In this case, we do not treat all the children as if they are one individual. Since they are a multitude, they are many people, therefore they get a half of the estate. So, neitlin b'nei pleini mechatza, v'ashnayim arisheini mechatza. The children get half, and the other two, the two first ones to be mentioned, also get half. Now the Rambam will deal with the question of what happens if the Shechiv Mera says to give a portion and does not say exactly how large this portion shall be. Halacha Zayin. Shechiv Mera Sha'amar. Shechiv Mera who says, Yachleik Pleini Ben Nechosai. Let such and such a person have a portion, split, divide up within my belongings, among my belongings. In such a case, Yitl Mechatzah. He takes half. Since he is told to take part of the portion, he is apportioning his belongings, he takes a half. However, tnu chelek l'plaini b'nechosai. If he says, give such and such a person a chelek, a portion of my belongings, then yitol echad mishisha osir. He takes one out of 16, 1/16. There is someone who says, apparently referring to the Rif, that he takes one quarter of the belongings. These various measurements come out of the next halacha where they were described. Over here, the apparent argument is, what does a person mean with the words chelak if he does not specify? 1/16 or 1/4. Halacha ches. Shchiv mera sha'amar tnu chelak l'plaini b'bor hayayin sheyeshli. A shchiv mera who said, give a portion to someone from my wine vat. In this case, yitzel revi'a hayayin. He takes one quarter of that wine, since he's getting a portion from the vat. Let's say he specifies further, and Amar, he said, tnu lei bei chelek lechavis, that give him in it a portion for a barrel, for a wine barrel. In this case, hare miut. He is minimizing the amount over here. Instead of just saying, give him a portion of the vat, he's saying, give him a portion of the vat to fill up a barrel. Therefore, he is indicating a smaller amount, the yitol shminis ayayin, and he takes only 1/8. As our sages have estimated, that such is a normal amount to expect to give in order to fill up a barrel. Amar tnu lei bei chelek lekadeira. Let's say it was further limited, and he said, give him and it a portion for a pot, even a smaller vessel. Neitol chelek mishnei masa min ayayin. Then he takes 1/12 of the wine. Let's say, Amar tnu lei bei chelek l'tafiyach. He said, give him part of it for a tafiyach, which is a decanter or a small bottle. In this case, neitel chelek mishisha asam min hayayin shebeber. Then he takes 1/16 of the wine which is in this vat. Sharegila daitei shelechelek mu'at neskaven. Because he has revealed his intention that he only wants to give a small amount by saying, give him some of this vat for a small jar or a small bottle. It is clear that his intention is for a small amount. Halacha tes, ve'ein gemri min hashiyurin ha'elu l'din achir. However, the Rambam warns, do not learn from the measurements given here to other cases. Halacha yud. Now the Rambam starts dealing with cases where the command which is given at one time has gone through of changing implications as a result of changing conditions. Shchimera she'omar, shchimera who says, titul ishti ke'echad min habonim, let my wife take among one of the children. In such a case, neitelas ke'echad mibonav, she takes like one of the children. She takes an even portion with them. Should there be three children, then she gets one quarter of the estate, just as the other three do. However, let's say this has changed. The number of children has changed from the time that the command is given to the time that he dies. Let's say there are more children that are born after this will, after his commandment. These new children, newborn children, join the ranks of those that already were at the time of the command, at the time of the will. V'natelos chelakim kulam. And she takes one portion among the total. Ketan, for example, hayushleisha banim b'shas hatzava. At the time of the will, there were three children. Ulachar zman neil deleishnayim. And then afterwards, they have another two children, a total of five. Does she get one quarter, since there were originally three, and she was promised a portion at the time there were only three, or do we count all of them? She takes like one of the other five, meaning she gets 1/6 of the total amount. However, this only applies to the amount that she splits up with the other one, what portion she gets. However, she does not split with them except those belongings which were already in his possession at the time that he commanded that she should get a portion. According to the regular laws of inheritance, she would not get a share, since he commanded she does get a share. However, he can only do that up to the point where those possessions which he now has are being covered. But any belongings which came into his possession after the time of this will, ain lo bahem chelak, she has no portion in them. Because a person cannot affect the transfer of property or a gift but something which has not yet come into his possession. So when he gave a gift of all his possessions to his wife among the children, he cannot make a valid act of such transference of property, since he does not yet own these other belongings. Only those things that he now owns can he transfer, not those things which have not yet come to his possession. Now the Rambam will deal with what categories of objects among his belongings were meant by a particular statement. Halacha Yud Beis. Shchiv Mera Sha'amar Metaltalin Sheyesh Li Laplayni. If this Shchiv Mera who said that movable objects that I have should be given to a certain person, what does he mean by movable objects? Naito Klei Tashmishay. He can take those things which are normally used in the house. But he cannot take wheat and barley and other things similar to them. This is in spite of the fact that normally metaltalin comes to include everything else, basically, except land, karka. However, in such a context, when he says metaltalin, movable things, he's not referring to food. He is normally referring to objects in his house. Omar kol metaltalin shali netel hakol. But if he says all of my movable objects, in this case he can take everything. Since he specifies all of my movable objects and does not say the metaltalin shayeshli, he says kol metaltalin. In that case he indicates that everything should be given, even the food. Halacha Yud Gimel. Normally we find in other places that servants, avadim, are included in the category of karka or land. For this law of Shchiv Mera, we will see it as different. Va'avadim b'chlala metaltalin. That the servants are included among movable objects. Avolei rechayim atachteinu kiyetzeba. We do not include the bottom millstone and similar things. Sharehi mechuberes la'aret. Since it is attached to the ground. Although it is certainly a movable object, one is capable of moving the lower millstone. Just as one moves the higher millstone, it normally is not done. It normally stays attached to the ground. Therefore, when he says movable objects, he is excluding this bottom millstone. However, if he says halacha yudalet, amar kol metaltel, anything which is capable of being moved, in such a case, metel avrechayim atachteina, he can take even the lower millstone, that although it is not normally moved, he said anything which can be moved, anything movable. And therefore he means even this millstone, since it may be moved. Ukayetzebran, and so to anything else, which is similar in that regard. Halacha tesvav. Let's say he made a more general statement. Shchiv merasha amar, a shchiv mera who said, nachasai laplaini, my belonging should be given to such and such a person. In this case, Neitzel call him a taltalin. He can take all of the movable objects, v'kola karkois, all of the land, v'ha begodim, v'ha avodim, v'ha behema, v'ha eifes. So too the garments and the servants and the animals and the birds, v'ha tfilin, and so too his tfilin phylacteries, imshar svarim, hakol bechlal anachosim. So too any other of his books, everything is included in this general phrase of his belongings. However, when it comes to a Torah scroll, we have a dilemma. On the one hand, the Torah scroll, Sefer Torah, is not really one of his possessions, since he's not allowed to just sell it for anything he wants and to get money for it. On the other hand, there are conditions under which one is allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, in order to get married and some other cases. So in one respect, it might be seen not as his possession. In the other hand, for some purposes, it is his possession. What is the law with a Sefer Torah? I will say for Torah yesh pesofik imu b'chlam nachosim oy einay. The Talmud expresses a doubt whether the Sefer Torah is included among his possessions or not. And lefichach im tafsei ein meitzin miyadei. Therefore, the law is if he grabs it, we cannot take it away from him. The law is by any case of doubt in a financial matter that the money stays wherever it is. So if he doesn't take it and asks you whether he may, we say no, leave it as part of the estate. Should he grab it, however, it goes into his possession, and we do not repossess it, since we are in doubt as to who it really should belong to. In the next four halachas, the Rambam speaks about someone that the Shchiv Mera anyway has to give money to. And through the addition of a certain phrase, he indicates that he should get even more. This phrase is koroi loy, as is befitting him. Halacha tezayin. Shchiv Mera sha'omar, a Shchiv Mera who said, Tnu masayim zuz l'pleini b'chayri, give 200 zoos to this certain person, my firstborn, karoi loy, as is befitting to him. The law is neitlam v'neitel b'cheirase. He gets these 200 zuz, and in addition, he gets the portion which is normally due him as the firstborn. Since he said karoi loy, that is referring to what he deserves anyway. The Masayim zuz, the 200, is in addition to that. Therefore, he gets both. However, Halacha Yud Zayin, Amar b'cheirase, he doesn't specify karoi loy. He says, give him 200 bivcheirase in his inheritance or as his inheritance. In this case, yode al hoel yena, his hand is on top, meaning he is at the advantage. Ratza chelik bicheira neito. If he wants the portion due him as the firstborn, he can take that. But if ratza masayim zuz neito, if he wants 200 zuz, he's allowed to take that. Whichever he prefers, he is allowed to take. Since it doesn't say roi loy, in order to add on to what he was given at first, he's given the choice. Halacha yutches. V'cheinim omar tnu masayim zuz l'plainis ishti k'roi lo. If he says, give 200 zuz to my wife, such and such, as is befitting her, she also gets two things. Neital tan, she gets the money, the 200 zuz. V'neital is k'suvasa. And she also gets her k'suba, which is due her anyway as a result of her husband having passed away. The amount which was written in the marriage contract. Vim Amar Bik Suvasa. Let's say it is, he said, give her 200 zuz as her ksuva or in her ksuva. In that case, Yoda Aluel Yena. Again, her hand is on top. Should the ksuva be worth more than 200 zuz, she can take the ksuva. So that should the 200 zuz be more, she can take the 200 zuz. Halacha Yates will be an exception to this rule. Omar tnu masayim zuz l'ploini bal chayvi karoi lei. If he says, give 200 zuz to such and such a person whom I owe money to, as is befitting him, in such a case, what is befitting him? The debt. So neitlam, he can take the 200 zuz, but neitel es chayvi, and he can also take the money which he is owed. Just as in the previous case of the firstborn who is owed something, and the woman who is deserves her ksuva. So too in this case, he gets not only the 200 zuz, but also his debt. However, Omar b'cheve, if he says, as my debt, or in his debt, ein lay elocheve, all he gets is the debt to be paid back itself. Because if we give him the choice of taking whichever is more, it is going to look like interest. He lent him money, as now is getting back more. Should the 200 zuz be worth more than the loan was worth, he's going to be giving a loan and getting back even more. It's going to look like interest. In the beginning of this halacha, he's also getting back more. Because we're saying that he gets not only the debt, but also the 200 zuz. However, that doesn't look like interest, because it's two separate gifts. Evidently, the 200 zuz is separate from the loan itself. The loan is one issue, and the 200 zuz is a completely different gift. Therefore, it doesn't look like interest. But if it's all one gift, such as 200 zuz, which is worth more than the loan was worth, this looks like interest and is therefore prohibited. Halacha Chaf. Shchiv Merasha Amar, Shchiv Merahu said, Tnu arba mea zuz l'ploini v'yisa biti. Give 400 zuz to this person, and he will marry my daughter. Are these two separate statements, or are they connected together? Harezeh kamisha nosun le'shtei matones. This is if someone is giving two gifts, whichever one he desires, he is allowed to take. Should he only want to marry the daughter, he can do so. Should he want to take the 400 zuz, he can do that. Therefore, if he wants to take the money and not marry the girl, he is allowed to take the money and he has no responsibility towards marrying the girl. But if he said it in the reverse order, first he said, take my daughter as a wife. Utnu loy arba mea zuz, and then give him 400 zuz, harezet tanai. This is considered a condition. V'loy yiske b'moyz ashayika chabas. And he does not get the money until he marries the girl. Since he expressed the marriage first, it is clear that that is his main intention. And the money is only secondary to that. Therefore, the only way he gets the money is if he marries the girl. To understand the next halacha, we must review some of the laws of the ksuva, the marriage contract, and the nidunya regarding the money and possessions she brings into the marriage. There is a category of property and possessions that a woman brings into her marriage known as nixetzeim barzo. These are belongings which she brings into the marriage, and later on, should the marriage terminate through divorce or death, she retains and regains possession of them. While they are married, the husband has to take care of them and he is responsible for them and so on. But nevertheless, after the marriage, she gets them back intact. The custom was to write into the ksuba, the marriage contract, the amount of the nedunya, the amount which she would bring in, the dowry, so to speak, which she brought into the marriage. However, in order to increase the honor and glory and status of the woman getting married, there was a standard procedure to overestimate the amount she would bring in. There was a certain amount, let's say they would always write twice as much as she brought in. Should she bring in $100, they would write down $200. If she brought in two, they would write four, and so on. And this was standard. So let's say she brought 200 into the marriage, and it would be written in the ksuba 400. Later on, if should they divorce, or if she is widowed, she takes back, although it is written 4, she takes back 200. Since the 400 really means 200. Now the Rambam is going to discuss, what does it mean when he says the money in the ksuba? Does he mean the money written in the ksuba, or the amount that it is really worth? Halacha chafalef. Shchiv Merasha Omar, Shchiv Merahu said, Tnu arba meyazuz lebiti biksuvasa oy liksuvasa. He said, give 400 zuz to my daughter with her ksuva, or for her ksuva, or something of the sort. Im derech hansheir lahesit b'shumas anadunya. If the custom is, in that place, to add on and overestimate the amount of the dowry, v'lichtev shova mona b'masayim, they would write down $100 worth as $200 worth. In such a case, Einan Aitelas Ela Masayim Zuz. He only takes 200. That Shari Le Omar Arba Meya Zuz Stam Ela Biksuvasa. He didn't say give 400 Zuz, and therefore meaning literally that amount. He said Biksuvasa as part of her Ksuva. What does he mean 400 Zuz with her Ksuva? Claimat as if to say, Tanu Lo Mashatiya Shumase Biksuvasa Arba Meya Zuz. Give her an amount which will be written and estimated in her ksuba as 400 zuz. Not to give her 400. 400 ksuba zuz. What would be written in the ksuba as 400, namely 200 zuz. Halacha chav beis. But I'm begin this rather long halacha with a discussion of goods which have changed in their value. Let's say a man who is dying, a shchiv mera, promises a nedunya, a dowry to his daughter of a certain amount of clothing. Let us say, for example, a certain garment, which is now worth $100. Let's say between now, when he makes this statement, and even between the time that he dies and the time of the marriage, the garment has decreased in value from $100 to $50. Now, what did he intend? Did he intend to give his daughter something which is worth $100? Or did he mean this article of clothing? Omar tnu nedunya lebiti. If he said, give a dowry to my daughter, kach v'kach begodim, kach v'kach kelim, such and such, such clothing and such objects. Huz lo habgodim v'kelim acharken. And afterwards, the garments and the objects decreased in value, they became cheaper. Should the orphans who are inheriting the state have to give the amount which it originally cost, they will be losing. And should we allow them to give the clothing and objects as they are now, they will be gaining. The halacha is, ha-revach li-yaseimim, that the profit goes to the orphans. V'nesnin lo kashar hazul. And you give her these objects and this clothing according to the present decreased cheaper price. V'kenim omar, so too if he said, tnu arba me'azuz demei hayayin labiti. He said, give a value of wine of $400 to my daughter. But who got a yayin? Over here the wine became more expensive. Let's say a barrel normally cost 400 zuz. Later on it became more expensive. So a half a barrel costs 400 zuz. Do they have to give a half a barrel of wine, which is the value of 400 zuz? Or did he intend the wine itself, not the value of the wine? In which case he would have to give the entire barrel, which perhaps now doubled in price. So too over here, says the Rambam, that since he mentioned the amount of money, ha-revach li-yaseimim, the profit is again to the orphans. V'nesnin lo arba me'azuz. They only have to give her 400 zuz. They do not have to give her the amount which previously was 400 zuz, which is now a lot more. Since he said, me'ayayim, in the amount of money, he intended this amount. U'maisa ba'echa shahaya yetsa b'keila. There was a story of a person who went out in a chain gang, so to speak, chained and imprisoned.
Ba'amar, and he said, Tnu l'ploini arba me'azuz me'hayayim shal makam ploini. Give such and such a person 400 zuz of wine from such and such a place. And here he did not say the amount of money, the value of the wine. And in addition, he indicated a specific place, which seems to indicate that he is intending the wine itself, and not the value of the wine. Nevertheless, for Amru Chachamim, our sages said, Yitil arba me'azuz midmeya isa ayayin. He can only take 400 zuz of the value of the wine. He did not intend to give him a weight, which is normally worth 400 zuz of the wine. And his intention is only for the money, for the value, not for a certain weight of wine. If he meant the weight, he would not have mentioned the price. Your question is, why then did he single out a certain place? And when he said, this place, it seems to indicate that he is pointing him there to get the wine itself rather than the value of the wine. So the Rambam says, no. This is only in order to strengthen the ability and the power of the recipient of this gift. As the Ramban and the Rashba explain, that if he only said to give him wine, when it comes to collect from the orphans could always say that it's wine which is buried somewhere that he meant, not the wine we have around the house, and then he won't be able to gain anything. Therefore, he indicated specifically which wine he was speaking to, so they shouldn't be able to dissuade and work around this recipient. The Shuv Maisa, and another story which happened in the Gemara, Ba'achar Sha'omar Hadekel Labiti. That a man said that this tree, this palm tree, should be given to my daughter. But he didn't find a whole tree, he found two half trees. Could these two halves have been his intention? Amru Chachamim, our sages said, Tito Hashnei Chatzoyim Shalazenes Kavin. That he should take both half trees, because this is what he intended, and this is called a dekel. The two halves together are called one tree. And another story of someone that said, Tnu l'pleini bayis hamachzik me'akurin. Give to such and such a person a house or a room which holds 100 kur, which is a measure. Or as the one version has it, me'akadin, 100 jars or bottles. And they find that the house that this person had held 120, not 100. Could this be the house he meant? Our sages said, that the recipient does gain possession of this house. Because it appears that this is what he intended. How could we say this is what he intended? If he said 100, this is 120. Why would he mean to give even more than he said? The principle is that when someone is giving a gift, he is not being stingy about it. He's anyway giving a gift, and therefore he is doing it ba'ayin yofa, in a good way and in an open way, with a larger amount. The king called for Yitzhak Bedvarim Elu, and so to any similar cases in which we can determine the intention of the one that gave the gift.
Halacha Chav Gimel. Shchiv Merasha Amar, a Shchiv Merah who said, Tnu Labone Shekel B'chol Shabbos. Give my children one shekel every Shabbos. Eisha Amar, Al Titna Lehem Ela Shekel. Or he says, do not give them more than a shekel, only give them one shekel. However, v'nimtza she'ena maspik lem ela sela b'chol Shabbos. And later on we find that it is insufficient unless they have a sela every Shabbos. A sela being two shkolim. He was commanded not to give more than one, but they cannot survive unless they have two. Again, we look at his intention, and the sages conclude, neisnim lahem kol tzarkam, that the law is you should give the children whatever they need, even if it is twice the amount that he said before he died. That his intention was not to starve his children. He intended really to inspire them and to keep them on their toes. Because perhaps they will spend too much money if they are given too much. So he wanted to keep them under control and therefore limited the amount of money they could be given. Should it turn out that this is not enough, even according to an objective judgment, then of course you give them more, because his intention was not to starve them, but just to prevent them from being too free with their money. And now the final halacha of this parak, halacha chav dalet. Shchiv merah shetziva va'amar, a shchiv merah who commanded and said, al tispeduhu, that he should not be
eulogized at his funeral. Ein seftin eisei. We do not make a hesped and we do not eulogize him. But since the whole purpose of the eulogy is for the honor of the deceased, if he does not want to be honored, we have commanded to fulfill his wish. It's for his honor anyway. Let's say he said, al tikperu min chosev, that he should not be buried with his own possessions. In other words, he says not to use his money for the burial. In such a case, ein shamingly. We do not listen to him, shayachos al mamon bonov, the yapil atzmei al atzibur. That we should not listen to him, that he should care, that his son's money should be saved, and he should throw his own burial costs upon the congregation. Sha'asr la nichay b'lei kvura. You're not allowed to leave him unburied. But rather we force those that inherit the estate to bury him using the possessions they have inherited. Since he knows it is a mitzvah, he cannot utilize his funds only for other purposes and give them exclusively to his children, since he knows he is going to incur this expense, and it is a commanded expense, he must not throw the cost of this on the congregation.